Can we give a big shout out to our tech, our sound people, our video people that make this stuff happen? It's the most thankless job at the church, because when they do their job, when it's going good, you don't notice it. And then for 3 seconds, hey, what was that noise? What was that? Pastor Jeff's mic, Pastor Mark's piano went away. You know, we appreciate them. They give us words on our screens. Erica stays up late at night anticipating my PowerPoint to get to her. And she, right, Bambi? And she tells me how I need to change it and all that stuff, you know. Women have a way of doing that. They just, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. You ready to jump in? Are you ready to jump in? This is a jump-in message. You know, this is not just, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, you know, don't be tempted to go, oh, that was a good message, Pastor Mark. You know how I'll know if it's a good message? If you do it. Uh-oh, he's going to make us do something? Yep. Not me. It's really God. I told Logan backstage, I said, you need to stop preaching my message, please. You know what's crazy at this church? Even we have anointed announcements. You know, when they give announcements, I told Sharon, I said, get out of my notes. Come on. She read, what did she read from? She read from Matthew, go. Everybody say go. Yeah. Don't go. Stay till the message is over. But that we're commanded, right? We're going to look at some scriptures here. I want you to read with me. That means you're paying attention, right? Everybody see those words? My text today is coming from Genesis chapter 12, but how many of you know you can't necessarily read the Bible by chapter? You know, chapters and verses, chapters came in the 1500s. It was written as a book. So when you had Genesis, it was a book. When there was Isaiah, it was a book. It was a scroll. It's interesting that Jesus is teaching in the temple, and it says, and he picked up the scroll, and it says he found the place where it says. I'd like to suggest Jesus went, no chapters and verses yet. Sorry, folks. Ooh, here it is. He found the place where it said it, right? Now we have easy access. But we're going to back up into chapter 11 just to give you some context here. Context. Here we go. Terah. Ready? Here we go. Read. Terah took Abram. Now, who is this? We're not saying Abraham. He's not Abraham yet. It's Abram. Okay, here we go. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans, read, in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were what? And what happened? Where'd he die? In Haran. Read, verse 12. Read out loud. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. How about this? Bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in all your families of the earth will be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram, read, went away as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the people which they had acquired in Haran. What'd they do? And they set out for the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. What did they set out for? Land of Canaan. Where'd they come to? The land of Canaan, not rocket science. Okay, verse 6. Abram passed through the land, read, as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanites were in the land at that time, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. So what did he do? Build an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Verse 8, read. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. What was on the west? Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the south. Now I want to show you a map here. Hopefully you can see this. The interesting thing is Ur is at the bottom of the map, okay? Haran, I've circled at the top. Canaan and Shechem, where the little Ichthys fish thing is, that's where they ended up going. Now, from Ur to Haran was about a little over 600 miles from point A to point B. From Haran to Canaan, there was a little over 400 miles. So it's about an 1,100-mile journey. No Uber, no taxis, okay? Doesn't even say he rode a camel or a donkey. I'd like to suggest he was on foot doing this, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. If you read the text in Genesis, you might get the wrong idea of what happened, okay? It sounds like God called Abram when he was in Haran, but that's not the case. He called him when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans, right? So he calls Abram and says, Abram, I want you to go to this place. Leave your father, leave your household, leave all that stuff, and go to the place I'm telling you. Now he's in Ur. Everybody see that? Where did God tell him to go? To the promised land, to Canaan, right across, boom. He could have got there. If he would have went straight across, he could have got there quick. What did he do? He actually must have been watching the Beverly Hillbillies or something, because he loaded up the truck and took everything with him, took his father, took all this. Now, what's Abraham's father's name? Terah. Everybody say Terah. Terah. Now, Terah means delay. It means delay or actually hold back, to delay, to wait, to delay. It's where we get the word tarry. Everybody say tarry. Back in the day, some of you don't know, but if you were raised in some of the circles we came out of, you know, you tarried for the Holy Ghost. You had to go. What that meant, you waited and waited, and you begged God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We learned that that wasn't the way, really the best way to do it. Maybe it's a way, but they tarried. So Abram took his father Terah with him. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to leave your father. Is that what the scripture says? Leave your father, leave your family. Go to the place I'm telling you. So his father, who has roots in Haran, and even named somebody after that, goes to Haran, and they get delayed in Haran going to where they're supposed to go. And the interesting thing in the text, and you're going to see this when we look in some New Testament scriptures that talk about this, Stephen gives a message about this, is Terah, whose name means what? To tarry, or to delay, right? There's a delay. Abram takes a delay with him. God says, don't take any delays. You can't delay. I want to get you there. He takes Terah to Haran. Has to stay there until something happens. What happens? Terah dies. When Terah dies, the delay's gone, and he goes to the promised land. Did you get that? So what do we get out of that? You know, I had somebody once that told me, I don't like when you preach from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament doesn't have anything to do with me. So somebody said that. His name rhymes with, no, no, I won't say that. I won't say it. When I say rhymes with, I actually say the real name, but we won't say that. So he takes a delay up to Haran and waits. He shouldn't have been waiting that long. God didn't say, go to Haran and do this 1,100-mile trip and then go. He said, no, go to the promised land. So Abram actually took a delay. And what's that mean to me? And I'm saying this prophetically. I feel that there are some ministries and some things that God is calling you to do specifically, but there's something that's delaying you to get there, and it has to die. Sometimes you have to kill your delay or pray, God, get this off of me. I want this off of me. You know, the scripture says, cast off every weight and sin that so easily besets you so that you may run the race. A weight is not necessarily a sin. It's just something heavy that's bogging you down. Have you ever had something like you feel God's telling you to do something and you go, how do I do this? This isn't as easy as I thought. I don't have the instruction book. Once Abram's delay died, he went on to do exactly what God said. Isn't that amazing? That's what it means, okay? Let's look. Let's go to the next screen here. Genesis 15, 17. Read. What's it say? And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur. That's down there in the corner, right? Of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. Now, Acts 7, we see Stephen's doing his sermon here. What's he say? Now, the high priest said, are these things so? Because he's talking, right? Stephen's preaching. And Stephen said what? Listen to me, brothers and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. He got this call down at the bottom, right? And read, and he said to him, go from your country, read, and your relatives, and come to the land which I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from thereafter, his father died. God had him move to this country in which you are now living. Wow. Now let's look at this. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Then we're going to get into it. This is an amplified Bible. I like the amplified. Things that are amplified are louder. I like it's a little bit louder. It says a few a little extra words. If you're going to memorize a scripture, don't memorize it in amplified because it's going to say, for God so loved the world so much greater than anything else that he gave his only begotten son, the only one that ever came to the planet to be, you know, that whosoever, it doesn't matter where you're from, it adds all these extra words. So you don't want to memorize the amplified, but it actually, the amplified version will give you some Greek and Hebrew definition put infused into this text, okay? You with me? Let's read this in amplified, right? Go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called by God, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went, read, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the promised land, as in a strange land, living in tents as nomads with Isaac and Jacob, who were fellow heirs of the same. Read that again. Who were fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has foundations, an eternal heavenly city whose architect and builder. Wow. Wow. Faith when you don't know where you're going. Have you ever been in a car with kids and you're going somewhere? Even maybe some adults, and they say this most irritating phrase. Oh, you've heard it. Sounds like. Have you heard that? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay. Are we there yet? I think it's okay, and I think God's okay with us saying that. But He's not okay when we're disobedient. But He's okay for saying, "Are we there yet?" We go a lot of places, and it's kind of funny because Kat, is she here? Is she in the room? Oh, never mind. You know the song I sing to Kat when she walks into the room? Everything changes. Marcus starts to tremble. Aren't you glad you go to a church? You can just have fun and be real and just be... Are you glad for that? You know, there's a lot of places that you just got to be plastic and fake. So we go on trips, and she does this so many times. I'll pay her $20. If you talk about your wife up here while you're preaching, you owe your wife $20. Okay? I don't have my wallet, but... So we go on these trips, right? And I get my GPS. I'm a tech guy, and I put in, and hey, we're going this, da-da-da-da-da. She, and if you, a lot of you know this, how many of you know Kat loves maps, like the paper map? She has to have that paper book map in front of her. And she'll have her little book. She takes it with us. Oh, here she goes. And she's got her map, and I'm going. My GPS goes, turn right on 300 feet. And she goes, I don't think we should do that. Okay. And she's got the map, and she's looking at it. And she goes, I think we should go straight. Why would we go around here and go here? And she's always right when she says it from the map. When she says it for the map, I'm not talking about day-to-day activities, just. But she's right on most of that too. And she'll get her map out. And one time we were in Florida traveling, remember that? She just went like this. And was that when there was a hurricane and we got evacuated? Yeah, we got evacuated, and we had to get out of there, and we were with a group from the church, and we're like, where are we going to go? And I'm like, well, I have a friend that lives in Baltimore. Maybe we can go up. We were in South Carolina. We were in South Carolina because half of our group wanted to go to Florida. I said, you're crazy. We're not going that far. So we went up to Huron instead. And anyway, and Kat had her map. I owe her 40 for this one. And it was pouring down rain, and we're going, no, we're not going that way, and we're not going this way. We should do this, and we should go this way. And somehow she dropped the map out of the car window, and it fell on the ground in this big mud puddle for pouring rain. And she said, my map. I was like, this is worse than the hurricane, folks, trust me. We need to give Kat her map. She needs her. I'm like, here you go. How many of you have the temperament where you have to know every detail or most of the details before you... Pastor Jeff raised his hand before I even finished the sentence. How many people, you feel like you have to have every detail before you even start doing it? Where are we going to go? When we were first married, you know, opposites attract, right? Right? My wife is nice, sweet, polite, organized, all that stuff, opposites attract. And so one day I said, hey, let's go to Baltimore. This was on a Wednesday. She said, when do you want to go? I said, tomorrow. What are we doing? Women do this. I need to know, like, what kind of shoes do I wear? Because women travel with suitcases of shoes. We know that. That's just what they do, right? Right? They can't go in one pair. I wear one pair. And so what are we doing? Where are we going? And I learned ahead of time, if I want to keep in good standing with my wife, I have to give her a little bit of advanced notice of what we're doing, you know, before we get there. How many of you like that? You're like, I'm not comfortable. I need to know what's going on here. How many of you really don't care and you would jump out of an airplane without a parachute? And how many? Is there people in here? Are there crazies in here like that? Crazies like me? You just do it. You just do it. Yeah, yeah. How many of you know we're entering a realm in God? I don't know. It's not just at this church, because I'm seeing in the global ecclesia that the churches, you know, that the ecclesia, that's the global church. God's taken us places you ain't never been. It's, you know, there's a point in a GPS where it says there's no additional information on this destination. Sometimes it'll pop up and say that and take you to a dead end road. we're in a realm now where God's saying, hey, you just put your seatbelt on because this is going to be a ride. It's probably going to be the ride of your life. I'm taking you to a place where I promised you that you're going to go. I'm giving you an inheritance to get somewhere. You don't know where it is. Abraham, not knowing where he was going, what'd he do? He went. So get ready. If your temperament is that where you're like a melancholy organized, you take all the notes and you got every duck in a row. Like Kat has every duck in a row. My row has a duck, a dog, a chicken, and a pig in it. And I'm happy with my row. I mean, everybody has your own row, right? Even in church, you have your own row. You guys sit in the same spot. We notice it. Yeah. Yeah. One day, mess with us one day and sit in somewhere different. That'll really mess with us, right? Don't get in a fight with somebody if you take their seat, but, you know. So God is getting you ready for what he already has ready for you. I would like to suggest 99% of it is way out of your comfort zone. You like comfort zones? You like to sit and get cozy, right? We're in a realm right now, folks, where ain't no room for getting cozy. No more time sitting, just attending church. I'm going to church. I got saved. Praise God. I'm ready to go. No, there's a work that everybody that's listening to my voice here and even online, we have a great, you'd be amazed at who watches our services online. This is for you too. This is not just for the people in the house. It's for you listening to this online. God has a plan and a purpose for you. You don't need all the information. You just have to say, here am I, Lord. Send me, right? In the Wednesday night class, I was in the class Wednesday night with the group up there. I just like to jump in once in a while. It's a great group. And someone in the class said, I pray, God speak to me, and he doesn't tell me anything. I sit there and wait for him to hear something. I don't hear anything. And is that how we get sometimes? God, show me what to do. And I think sometimes God has a sense of humor. God has a button on his soundboard called crickets. And he pushes it. Have you ever heard crickets when you're praying, God, I need an answer to this? I said in class, and I say this to you, I think the problem is we want God to speak to us, and his response to us is, I don't want to speak to you, I want to speak through you. And in order to speak through you, you got to go somewhere. You got to be in front of somebody. You got to get out of your house, go to work, like Pastor Jeff prayed. Everybody was in my notes today. You go to where you work, go to where you shop, go to your neighborhood, walk around in your neighborhood. Say, okay, God, speak to me. And he will speak. I would suggest we should focus and say, Lord, speak through me, because he's not going to speak through you to yourself. Through you means he's giving you a word to give to somebody else. And that's what we're all called to do. The scripture says, go and, she read it in the announcements, make disciples. Do you have disciples? Do you have people who you're discipling? If not, go get some disciples. You need to get some disciples, right? So oftentimes, we want God to speak to us, we need to say what? Speak through us. And when you get a word from God that's a promise, his promises are just amazing. If God says something, what's the scripture say? His word will not return void. If he says something, that's what it is. So when the Lord gives us a promise, what he's actually doing is he goes into our future and sees where he's taken us, and he comes back to us with a word that will be necessary to get us there. He may give you that word through reading the scripture. He may give you that word through a prophet. He may give you that word through somebody talking. He may give you that word through your own intuition. But he sees ahead of us. He says, I need you to go here. And then he'll give you a word that you can stand on. My hope, I don't know about your hope, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What do I do? But halfway lean on, wholly lean on Jesus' name. When he says a word and we say yes, our response will be, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own. Don't lean, because if you lean on it, you're going to fall. Don't lean on it. Jesus says, lean on me when you're not strong. This is what he sings to us, and I'll be your friend. This is what he says, I'll help you. Okay, that's a secular song. Well, you don't know it. Yeah, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. And I'd like to suggest we say somebody to depend on. The Lord wants to know, can I depend on you? I have a mandate for you. I have a request. Will you do it? Okay? Right? So this is what happened recently to me. I was on a trip to D.C. Pastor Damian Williams. How many of you know Pastor Damian Williams? He did a Saturday seminar. Nobody in the room? Was anybody here at that seminar? A couple of you were. Yeah, Pastor Jeff. Amazing man of God. Just incredible. He called me and said, Pastor Mark, I'm doing a trip to D.C., and I want you to go with me. I went, okay. Well, why do you want me to go with you? And he said, I'm going to the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C. and in a lot of meetings with a lot of leaders, and we need a prophetic voice to be in these meetings. And I was thinking in my head, well, I know a lot of people. I can give you a lot of phone numbers. I really do. I know a lot of prophets and stuff. Okay. So I tell Kat, so what did I say? Damian made a request, and I said, yes, okay, I'll go. I didn't have all the details. I told Kat, hey, guess where I'm going? She said, where? I said, D.C. She said, for what? I said, I don't know. I'm going. I'll make this quick. I can't even begin to tell you what happened on that trip. I'm going to try. So I go. And I was responsible for my own hotel. I found a hotel. I got this hotel. I park in the street at the hotel. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. I know where I'm going, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. And so I get to D.C. I check into my hotel. I park across the street. I ask the guy, I said, hey, is it the clerk guy? I said, is it okay if I leave my car parked across the street? He goes, no, you can't do that. There's a school there. And I said, well, how much is it to park? He goes, well, all downtown park, it's about $50 to $60 a night. I'm there all week. Okay, I know. And so he said, hey, you know what? I'm leaving in a little bit. When I pull out, I want you to pull your car into where I'm parked, which was about 20 feet from the front door of the hotel, and you can stay there all week for free. Okay. I don't know why I'm here, but it's getting pretty cool. He says, we don't have a lot of rooms. I need to put you on the top floor room. I said, well, I don't care where I'm at. I just need a room. He puts me in a room. I go into my room. I open my door, and there's this big plate glass window, and I see the Capitol in D.C. out my window. I don't know why I'm here, but this is getting pretty cool. And so I'm there, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. What am I doing? Then there's a prayer breakfast meeting. Wednesday was the real one with James Garlow. I don't know if you know who James Garlow is. He's a founder of Well-Versed. See, Thursday, the national prayer breakfast, is the one that's kind of the one you see on TV, and that's the, oh, nice. Wednesday was the Holy Ghost prayer meeting in D.C. with about 1,200 people that was setting up for some, I mean, stuff that happened in that meeting was just incredible. So I'm in that prayer meeting, and Tony Perkins was there. You might know Tony Perkins. Prime Minister of Slovenia was there. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was there with us. Senator Ted Budd from North Carolina was there. Steve Scalise was there. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, you know Jonathan Kahn, he's a super cool dude. He was there. Michelle Buchanan, members of parliament from Bulgaria, Cyprus, Canada, Moldova, Pakistan. The Prime Minister of Slovenia, he was kind of cool. He played the harmonica when they introduced him. He played this hymn. He played How Great Thou Art on his harmonica. And that was kind of cool. I just felt like, you know, in the scripture where they're given the genealogy and all of a sudden Jabez pops up and they give you a little snippet. Well, that's that Slovenian dude. I had to put that in there because I was like, I'm connected to a lot of Slovenians and this dude's playing a harmonica. It was really cool. And there was a world champion boxer from Ukraine. All these people. Now, I'm already on overload and it's day one. Okay. And so Pastor Damien calls me and he says, oh, Pastor Mark, I double booked something. I need you to pray at the Ukrainian. It was Ukrainian week. And there were thousands of Ukrainians there. And he said, I need you to pray at the Ukrainian breakfast. And I said, okay, what's the scoop? What do we got to do? He goes, well, pray. I'm not, Pastor Damien, if you're watching this, you know this is true. So he said, I want you to pray that heaven invades earth and that what's done in the heavenlies would be done on the earth. Did you not say that? That's what you said. Don't send us letters, Pastor Damien. I know it's true. And he tells me all this stuff. I get there to this meeting and that had nothing to do with anything. They already told me what they wanted to do. You know, Netanyahu was there, you know, because he met with President Trump and they had the delegation from Israel there and all that. And so the guy that the Pastor G, who's the head of it, of this meeting, comes up to me and goes, oh, you're Pastor Mark. Okay, good to meet you. You will be praying for Israel today and for the meetings of Israel that God would do a work in Israel. And I went, now I have 5 minutes before I go on that stage in front of 1,500 people, delegates from the country. Like, if you're from Israel, you should be the one praying. I don't know what in the world I prayed. It must have been in tongues or something, because I don't remember anything I said, except when I ended, I said, and I pray this, and I bless the people of Israel, and I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's jujus in there. Jujus. Aren't those candies? Are those candies? I'm sorry. That's like a little candy that sticks and pulls your filling out when you eat it. But there were like real Jews in there, man. And I'm going like, oh my God. And they're like, hallelujah, yes. And they're praying. I get a text from a dude and he's like, oh, you nailed it, bro. And I'm like, nailed what? I don't even know what I just did. This was crazy. Now it's day four or three or four. I can't remember. It was just, it all blurred together. I'm in this meeting now with Ukrainians, all Ukrainians. And my friend, Pastor G, he was actually born in Belarus and lived in Ukraine. He's a pastor of a church in California, about 2,000 members. We connected. We've been having weekly mentoring times. I'm really helping him through. He's going on a mission trip back to Belarus to minister to the people in Belarus and into Russia. And it's kind of dangerous, but he's going. He's trying to raise money. I'm going to post something on my Facebook page. We've got to be kind of quiet about it because it can't get too public. and we want to help him out. Anyway, I'm in this meeting with all these Ukrainians, and I'm sitting there, and 4 days after the war started in Ukraine, I started watching this church called Odessa's People's Church in the Ukraine. It attracted me because there's people getting killed outside, getting bombed, okay? And these people are inside this church worshiping. I mean, the youth, they had a choir, the choir singing. It's all in Ukrainian. I can't understand a word. I put this translator on. I start listening. I see this pastor. This is years ago, about 3 years ago. And I started watching Pastor Dennis, who's the bishop there over several churches. I'm like, holy smokes. Like, if it was me, probably I'd be hunkered under somewhere. They're in there worshiping Jesus. Like you'd never know anything was happening outside the doors by what we saw going on inside. I've been watching this church for 3 years. I'm in this Ukrainian meeting, and I've been liking a lot of stuff on their church. In the meeting, this dude texts me from that church and says, "Hi, Pastor Mark, sorry it took so long to respond. Glad you friended me." And I said, "Dude, I'm actually in D.C. at Ukrainian week. Are you here?" And he said, "Yes, I'm here. And Pastor Dennis is here with me." I'm like, "What?" And I'm in this meeting. I'm way down front. He goes, "Come to the back, and we want to talk to you. We want to meet you." And, you know, I saw senators. I was with people in that week that I don't even want to get into, you know. One day I was sitting, Pastor Damien made me go in this room, and I'm going to tell you about this church. Biggest thing that happened on the trip was meeting that pastor. Pastor Damien said, "Hey, why don't you come in this room?" We were at a thing called Cedar's House. Cedar's House is it's like a Christian Republican mansion where when they have big events in D.C., they let you come in and mingle with each other, and they give you food and all that stuff. So I'm sitting there, and Pastor Damien goes, "I want you to come in and sit at this table." I'm sitting at this table. I look across the table, and I'm like, that dude looks familiar. He looks really familiar. And he was Mr. Rooney, who owns the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's in the room. We're having a conversation. He's asking me questions. You know, we're just talking. This dude sits next to me on my left. And I'm, "Oh, hi." He goes, I said, "Hi, what's your name?" He said, "Edward." And he's, "Oh, what's your name?" "Mark." "Oh, what do you do, Mark? Where are you from?" "I'm from Ohio. I'm a pastor, you know, I have business, da, da, da." And I said, "Where are you from?" He goes, "Slovakia." We started talking, and this prophetic conversation started happening with this dude. And I'm talking to him, and he's saying stuff. And I said, this is how I said it. This just popped in my mind. How about this? And he's like, "Wow." He writes this down, and he goes, "I need to keep in contact with you." And he takes my info. I get his info. Pastor Damien, now we're talking, me and this dude, Edward, we're talking, "Oh, yeah, that's right, yep, yep." And he hits me. "Oh, wow, that's amazing." We're having this like chummy conversation. Pastor Damien walks into the room and goes, "Oh, Prime Minister, we're so glad you joined us." And I went, "Oh, my God." I don't know why I froze. I was like, I just hit him on the shoulder. What? He's the prime minister. He didn't tell me. He told me he's from Slovakia. He didn't say he was the prime minister. But that's the kind of stuff that was happening. Just because I said go, I didn't expect that. If God would have told me I had to do that, I'm not qualified to do that. I would turn into Brother Moses and say, "Get somebody else, God." You know? Do you know what happens if you say, "Get somebody else"? What happened with Moses? It says the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. You don't want that, right? So anyway, so back to this pastor. I'm in the room, right? And I'm talking to him. And he didn't speak English, but his wife spoke very well. So she's interpreting. I said, "Oh, man," I said, "I'm sorry, I'm kind of starstruck. Like, I've been watching you for 3 years, and your messages are phenomenal. I love what you're doing in the in your church. And we're just talking back and forth, and in the middle of our conversation, he has this like bishop garb on, yeah. And he goes like this and rips this off of his garment and goes, "I want you to have this." And I couldn't read it because it was in Ukrainian. And so he gives this to me, and what it says at the top, it says, "The Lord is my strength." On the side, it says, "We are with God." Down here, it says, "Let's get over." And I said, "What? Explain that." He goes, "We need to get over and start doing what God's doing. This is a mandate for our church." And then the last part says, "God gives victory." And he gave me this. I have the emotions of a flea. I'm standing there going, okay. And after talking, I had a word for him, and his wife said to me, and I didn't tell Kat this right away, she said, "You're going to be on our platform at our church, ministering to our church. Will you come?" I went, I didn't do that really. On the inside, you know, you have your inside response and then your outside response. I was like, "Yes." When I told Kat, she goes, "Did you tell him yes?" Yes. God is getting you ready. I just felt an anticipation moment right there. Did you sense that? I'm not making this up. Holy Spirit's not spooky and kooky. People are spooky and kooky. This is a real move of God happening in this house this morning. He's preparing you. He's preparing you if you get a little scared? There's so much more I could tell you about that trip, but I don't want to. I hate long testimonies. Testimonies turn into moaning a lot, and I don't like to do that, but because it's important to me, but you don't know all the details, so I'm just skimming what happened. And there is going to be a release of faith because you came here today. You could have been somewhere else. You're here. Before you leave, the Lord showed me this 2 nights ago, that we're going to have a mass anointing service because the scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because he has anointed me to do what? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, set free the captives. He's calling every one of you. And this is not just the adults in the room. There's some young folks in here that God has you in your school. He wants your mandate from God is to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, set at liberty those that are captive. It's for the women, for the men, if you're a Jubilee, we had a fun time at Jubilee. Did you enjoy the Jubilee? Hey, Jubilees, if you enjoyed yesterday, give me a woo, woo, woo. See, Jubilees are fun too, right? You think Jubilees are quiet. I don't think I saw Janet woo, woo. Did you woo, woo, Janet? She's shaking her head. Did she, Ernie? Oh, he's saying yes. Okay, so he's good. It was such a blessing having them, and we had dinner and stuff with that great group. It's for you too. The prophetic word that I have for the Jubilees right now is a song that you know. Most people in the room don't know. "We've only just begun." He's not done with you guys yet. You have a unique ministry that's based on a solid foundation of wisdom that a lot of people don't have until they get to the point that you're at. The scripture says the older shall teach the younger, right? So you have a mandate. You have an important part in our body, and that'll never change, right? So it's for you too. It requires trust. You can't have faith without trust. Okay? If you're able, everybody stand up. Ah, feels good, right? Reminds me of a video I watched, sounds old people make. When you're older, you make a sound when you do something, and then you make a sound after you do something. So you make a sound when you sit down, ugh, then you make a sound after you sat down. Ah, yeah. You do that? Okay, sit down. Everybody sit down. Sit down. Everybody sit. Now, you know what's amazing that just happened? You know what the most amazing thing that just happened that I just saw you do? You sat down. You didn't say, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me. You had almost what I'd call an automatic faith that God, that the seat was going to hold you. And you just sat down. Oh, that we would have that same faith. That when God tells us to go, we would go and do what he says. I don't have all the instructions. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to do this, God. You're scaring me. Let me say this. Hold that cord right there. Say this. Say this. Say, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. Say, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. Say this. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust. Say, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Are you ready to go? I'm not talking about leave and go to lunch. I mean, are you ready to live out the faith for what he's calling you to do? Let's stand for real. I won't make you sit back down. Let's put this up. We're landing this plane. I only said half of what I had up here. Sorry. Luke 4:18. We want to proclaim this out loud. And before we do this, last night, as I was getting my notes ready, I started getting names, and I started writing names down on my notes. And I was like, what are these names for? And Holy Spirit said, this is going to be a mass anointing service that we do what this scripture says. This isn't just a, oh, that was a great message, yay. No. This is a message that requires a response. And we as Abundant Life are behind you. There's going to be ministry starting. There's going to be businesses starting. there's going to be lots of stuff starting, and you're the one that's going to do it. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? He's going to empower you to do it, and we as Abundant Life Fellowship are going to back you, support you, pray for you, and it's going to start with anointing you. I asked some specific people that God showed me, some maybe have never actually done it like this. If I asked you to come, would you come? I asked some specific people to come down that are going to anoint you, spread out. This is not a lengthy prayer session. This is not Deliverance 101. I asked some specific people he showed me to come. We want to anoint you before you leave. Some come down this way. I'll be down there too. We want to anoint you. And when we anoint you this morning, you know, some of the churches during Lent, they do, there's an oil over there. There's something. They do, what do? On Ash Wednesday, they put ashes on your head, right? It's kind of cool. Reminds you of what God, you know, Jesus dying. That's a sad thing. This is the oil of gladness that's going to lubricate you in the spirit to get those. I'm sensing right now, I'm seeing this vision of the Tin Man on The Wizard of Oz, and he's going, He says oil, and then he starts trying to say oil can. And then what does Dorothy do? She goes and she gets the oil can and she starts going, and he says, my mouth. Wow, my mouth's moving. Some of you, when you get anointed today, your mouth is going to get lubricated to start proclaiming the gospel of Jesus everywhere you are, making disciples of all nations like the scripture commands us. And this is a go message. And I said in the prayer room today, they're praying for me, and I said, I don't believe this necessarily. I don't actually like it when I hear people say it. I really don't. When people say, God told me to wear that green shirt. Whatever. You know? He said, I was looking at my shoes, and these are UFOs. And why they're called UFOs is because they're not just regular shoes. They push up into your arch. So when you do this, you go, ooh. UFOs. I don't know why. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's my shoes massaging my feet. He said, they need to remember more than 6% of this message. So they're going to remember your shoes. So you got to wear their shoes. Because this is going to remind them they got to go. They can't stand still. Your time of stagnant is over. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and not just to be an abundant life hog for yourself, but to pass that abundant life onto every person that you come in contact with in your sphere. Let's read this. We're gonna do this, and then I want you all to come down and find somebody after we read this. We want to anoint you. It's going to be quick. Don't hog-tie anybody in the line, please. This is not a prayer time. This is not I got to tell you something about next Tuesday. They have a mandate. They have a responsibility to anoint as many people as comes down today, okay? Let's read the scripture. Say it out loud. Ready? With me. Go. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. One more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I do this? Scary prayer. And then you can come forth. Find somebody. We want to anoint you and endorse you. to go. Here's a scary prayer. Are you ready for the scary prayer? Say this. Here am I, Lord. Here I am. Send me. One more time. Here I am. Send me. Would you come? Come forward. Find somebody. We want to anoint you before we leave. As we sing, you make me brave. Is that where we are? Get brave this morning. Say yes. Find somebody. There's lots of people down here. We want to anoint you. If I can borrow somebody's oil, I found one here. I'll do it too. Thank you, Jesus.